The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down and 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. It's been a fun-filled show. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, second, and Tommy Kraft. I don't want to hear Nick complaining at me after the show to say, hey, man, listen, this is all about me. And I need my name out there. So, but anyway, appreciate everybody listening in. On this fast ball, if I can say it right, Fastball Friday, presented by Harry Robinson.
A little curveball on that.
Yeah,
hey, why go north for your next vehicle when you can buy it the Arkansas Time Dealer of the Year? The Time Magazine, you know what, Big Time Magazine has a Car Dealer of the Year award. Arkansas's nominee was Harry Robinson Buick GMC and Harry Robinson. We want to congratulate them, and you can stop in and experience why. They are the Time Dealer of the Year. Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith at Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
All right, let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in former Arkansas Razorback pitcher Scott Tabor, who was on the College World Series team back in 1979, and a friend of the show comes on every Friday. Scott, how you doing today, man?
Doing great this morning, John. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well, and we're getting amped up for this Arkansas-Florida series this weekend. Top five matchup. Florida won the College World Series last year, so obviously they're trying to get to their repeat. And we just talked with Andrew Spivey, who said this Florida team may be even better than last year. It's hard to believe. But just how great is it that you have back-to-back weekends, top five matchups in the SEC, Arkansas sweeping Kentucky the way they did, and now setting up for a huge series against the number one team in the country in Gainesville?
Well, it's just kind of press the reset button every week in the SEC. You know, it's going to be a top five matchup or a top ten matchup. And the difference between a top five team and a top ten team is very, very slim. So everybody can beat everybody. Anybody can beat anybody any week. It's going to be interesting to see.
Arkansas scoring a lot of runs in the first three innings of games. In fact, 41% of their run production. We've been talking about this number, but Arkansas is jumping on opposing pitchers very early. Scott, if you're Florida and you're Kevin O'Sullivan, what are you talking about? What are you doing? How do you avoid Arkansas just crushing you in the first three frames of the game?
Well, Kevin is a pitcher's guy, so he understands the game. He understands as a pitcher you always want to work ahead, whether it's in the count or it's in the game, early in the game. You don't want to have to pitch from behind in the count because that's when you have to lay in a fastball and get it roped. You don't want to have to play catch-up. So it's very, very important to jump out to a good lead. It changes your strategy. You're not just playing for one run just to get up another run. You may have to start playing for some big innings and taking some gambles and doing things you don't want to have to do.
Scott Tabor, former Arkansas Razorback pitcher, is our guest right now on the Morning Rush. Scott, just obviously with Arkansas and the success that they've had so far this season, it's a lot of season to go, but which player has really stood out to you and has impressed you the most for the Razorbacks so far?
Pick one. Well, am I coming from a pitcher side or from a hitter side?
Whatever you want to do.
You know, on the hitting side, you know, you have to be impressed with Kerstad. He's just his approach at the plate. He's a big kid, and he's got strength, and he hits to all fields, and he hits for a great average. And you know, you just have to be impressed with that. But then you look at guys. You got Cole. You got Martin. Casey Martin has come on just gangbusters. Dude's hitting .369. Not bad. You know, not bad. He's got some great power. And I think he's one who really sets the table. They put him in the leadoff spot. And having a leadoff hitter who's got some pop, having a leadoff hitter who can take it out of the yard, but he also hits for average, and when he gets on, he's going to steal bases. I mean, he's a triple threat guy. And so as a pitcher, you want to really, really work hard to keep him off the bases. Because if he gets on, I haven't seen any percentages, but I'd like to see the percentage of how many times he scores based on the percent, based on the number of times he gets on first base with less than two outs. So on that side, I think it's Martin and Kerstad. I think you know, the big pleasant surprise, and it wasn't a surprise to the team as much as anybody else, is Campbell. I think Campbell is coming back and showing that he is going to be the dominant pitcher that they thought he was going to be last year before his injury. So that's a great thing to see. And Blaine Knight is just being Blaine Knight, you know, locked down Friday night guy.
Yeah. Blaine goes tonight, as you mentioned. Third lowest ERA in the conference, 1.30 going into tonight's game against the Gators. Four of his five outings have been five or more innings, and that's where he has really provided great value for Arkansas. This is a guy that's getting you a lot of innings and getting a lot of guys out.
Yeah, things have changed, you know, since I played. Used to a quality start was 8 2/3. Now a quality start's five innings. You know, they used to call it a five and dive. Now you give me five innings, that's all I want. But he is that guy. And he's got good enough stuff where even if he's having an off night a little bit, he's got good enough other pitches that he can get by and get them later into the inning, into the game, and get some work from his bullpen.
One of the questions I've always found interesting, that as far as from the baseball perspective, is the attitude and the emotion that you have as a baseball player going into a place like Florida, where they're the number one team in the country, they're the defending national champions, they have a great roster, have so many ways to beat you. How would you say is the attitude and just the overall feeling of a player that goes into a situation like that to make sure that not only do you not overlook it and not get too hyped, but also go in there and take care of business and try to find a way to get out of there with a victory?
Well, I tell you, the most excitement probably in that locker room is the fact that they're going to be playing in 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
Rather than playing in rain and 40-degree weather, which is what they've had a ton of this year. I don't know if they played much warm baseball this year. Even out in San Diego, it gets cool. So I think that's going to be a big deal. And as a baseball player, it just keeps you – you're used to playing baseball in the summer. You're used to playing baseball, you know, growing up. It's a summer game. You're used to sweating and getting staying loose and all the things that come with it. And I think that's going to be a big positive for us. I know any time we took a southern swing, it was just great. I mean, that's what baseball's meant to be. It's kind of like playing golf. You don't play golf in the cold weather. So I think the arms will be looser. I think attitudes will be looser. You know, and I don't think there's any fear on this team of going in and saying, oh, my gosh, we're playing the defending College World Series champions. And you know, they could have been them. We were a step here and a step there away from winning the championship just about every year. You know, it just takes a couple of good bounces. So I don't think there will be any intimidation. I think they'll go in, and it's the same recipe as every year. They've got all the players in place on both sides of the field, you know, pitching and hitting. If they play good, clean baseball, and the other night, you know, against Charlotte, they didn't play clean baseball, and they got beat.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that game. They lost 6-3 at Charlotte. They supposed to have played two. One game got weathered out. That concern you at all? I think Arkansas is now 2-3 away from Baum Stadium this year. Any concerns about their performance on the road, and does that midweek loss bother you headed into this Florida series?
Any loss bothers you as a player and as a coach. You never go into a thing and say, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. They all matter. And if you're a hitter, every time you go to the plate, it matters. There's also, you know, that's one of the beauties of baseball. It's not this team against that team. You know, on paper it is, but it comes down to this pitcher against this hitter. Every single pitch, there's a game within the game. And there's a lot of pitchers being run in and out. Midweek games like that aren't played like a regular weekend game. You don't go with a pitcher that's hot. You know, Loschke came in. Who's to say Loschke wouldn't come in and throw a no-hitter? He was, what, he had eight, nine strikeouts and 9-10 hitters. I mean, he was just absolutely dominant. He came out after three innings. And so they're running pitchers out to get some pitchers some work preparing for the weekend. Hitters the same way. They face a lot of different pitchers. It's easier, I've always thought, as a pitcher to come in and have one good quality inning than it is to come in and have a good quality six or seven innings. So it's hard to say. As far as bothering them, it's always a concern. I think the biggest concern on Van Horn's part is the fact that a little focus was maybe lost. You had some wild pitches. You had some passed balls. You had some errors. You had some throwing errors. Those are the things that when you say clean baseball, those are the things that you have to clean up. The rest of it is just baseball. You know, it's pitching and hitting. So we'll, I guess it's hard to say. You know, last weekend I thought it was going to be a pitcher's duel all weekend. I got that one wrong. So we'll see how this weekend goes.
Scott Tabor, former Arkansas Razorback pitcher, as always, joining us every Friday around this time. Really appreciate it, Scott, as always. Take care, and we'll be catching up with you next week, my man.
Thank you, John. Good talking to you.
You as well. And, it's an exciting series. Let's just be honest. I mean, the hype's there, and it's going to be on television. You'll be able to catch the broadcast right here on many of the stations that you're listening to throughout the week. Yep. And being on the East Coast, it's going to be an earlier first pitch a little bit to change there, but it's still going to be a great one.
Yeah, 5:30 tonight, and that's on SEC Network Plus, which, you know, the best game of the three in theory, because you got the best pitchers, is not on regular TV. But then Saturday and Sunday are ESPN2, an 11 a.m. start, and then Sunday an 11 a.m. start on the SEC Network. So a couple chances without digging out the ESPN app or the tablet or the phone or whatever to watch it. But tonight you'll have to get on the app. But, of course, many of these radio stations bring you the game. You can hear it right here, free o' charge. On the radio tonight and throughout the weekend.
This is the Morning Rush, and it's all made possible by Sassy's, where, we were talking about baseball, and I know that Scott brought up warm weather, and we all love watching baseball in warm weather, and it's also nice to have a little bit of food next to you and some adult beverages. Why not? Because Sassy has it all. They have barbecue quesadillas. They got barbecue nachos. They got barbecue everything. You want a barbecue I'm sure that whatever you want, I'm sure they can make it. They got the catfish that I know Nick's a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. They could even probably put barbecue sauce on your catfish, and they can make it all possible. Great sides, great drinks, great specials, and just overall a great time anytime you head over to Sassy's. If you want to watch the NCAA tournament, baseball, whatever you want to do as far as the sports landscape, they will make sure that you are all taken care of with an awesome patio. Sassy's Barbecue with two different locations in Fayetteville, one off of College and one off of Weddington. Be sure to stop by for a great atmosphere and a great time this weekend. Coming up next, Tracy White, DownSouth.com. Don't want to miss it. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
The Morning Rush is powered by HitThatLine.com. Razorback news, opinions, videos, anytime, and always free. Streaming now on HitThatLine.com.
This is my favorite part of the day, mainly the fact that the sun rises and I can actually see outside, and it adds a little light to the room, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend here in the great state of Arkansas. And so thank you for everyone making us a part of your day today, and it's all made possible as a Crabtree RV.
Yeah, that's where you can get your motor coach, your fifth wheel, your travel trailer, and right now is a great time to buy. They have a lot of trade-ins from the Fort Smith RV Boat and Outdoor Show. You can buy those at a fraction of the original MSRP. And I tell you, Lee J and Bert and the whole crew, they do a great job with the financing. They've been doing this a long time, so they can get you great terms and a great deal on your next motorhome, fifth wheel, or travel trailer. Buy right now at a fraction of the original MSRP. Shop today at Crabtree RV in Alma, next to the Cracker Barrel. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
All right, let's go over to the phone lines. We're going to talk a little Arkansas and Florida baseball series this weekend. A huge one for the Razorbacks and also a big one for the Florida Gators as we welcome in Andrew Spivey of Gator Country, friend of the show. Andrew, it's been a bit. How you been doing, my man?
I've been doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great and getting amped up for this series this week. It's a great one. Top five matchup between two teams that have had a lot of historical success. So let's just start off with Florida and generally the season that's been going on. Obviously, they've been a team that's had success. But how do you feel about this team, the number one team in the country by a lot of polls? Do you feel like it's warranted? Does this team have what it takes to get to and win the College World Series? Just your overall analyst, I guess, viewpoint of what Florida has done so far this season.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to say, and I'm sure you would agree with me, baseball's a strange day. You know, when you look back at Florida's team last year that went out and won the national championship, it was a good team. Was it the best team Florida had put out? Probably not. You know, it was just a very well-rounded team with, first-round draft pick in Alex Faedo and a couple of first-round draft picks possibly this year. But, you know, overall, this team might be better than last year's team, especially from a hitting standpoint. Florida 1 through 9 is pretty dangerous in the lineup. Pitching-wise, they're still very good. A Kevin O'Sullivan team is still going to be very good pitching-wise. And when you say that to certain people, they say, oh, well, they're going to repeat as national championship. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, overall, this might be a better baseball team just from a hitting standpoint, especially J.J. Schwartz being back this year, a senior, you know, had a very struggling year last year, struck out a lot, fixed that a little bit this year, and is able to go to all parts of the field. And like I said, Kevin O'Sullivan's pitching staff is always going to be a good pitching staff, starting out with Brady Singer and Jackson Cowart, two very good guys. Two guys that are projected to go high up in the draft. So overall, the seasons went about like you would think it would go. They went out and beat Florida State. They dropped a couple games, including last week against South Carolina. But so far, been about the season we all thought it would be for Florida.
Looking at the rest of, obviously, with the SEC is such a competitive conference in itself. You know, you just feel like it's going to be murderer's row going through. But Arkansas is also a team that has had a lot of historical success, and they were able to just absolutely destroy Kentucky, which is a very good baseball team, this past weekend in the series in Fayetteville. Just what kind of is your expectations for seeing what Florida has been, or what this series is going to behold? And do you expect Florida to win this series? Is it going to be a hard-fought battle? Just what do you think from this series in general?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like you said, the SEC is kind of murderer's row. It's when you look at Kentucky, first of all, that's a very, very good team. You know, went out and took two out of three from Texas Tech, who's good. And, you know, I would say that a lot of people thought Kentucky was probably right there as one of the top teams in the country. And then, you know, Arkansas goes out and takes the sweep. So, you know, I think in a very competitive series, I think it'll be two out of three one way or the other. I think it'll be just kind of depending on how Florida pitches and then how you guys hit. As you said last weekend, you guys went hit very well against Kentucky. I think it'll be a good series. Florida coming off that tough South Carolina series as well. Florida probably needs to take two out of three just to stay in the top of the SEC. I think it'll be a good series, though. Again, I'm kind of looking to see how Florida rebounds pitching-wise against a good hitting Arkansas team. This weekend, as Florida did struggle a little bit pitching at South Carolina, which is, you know, a tough place to play.
You know, we were talking yesterday about Brady Singer and his outing against Arkansas last year in the SEC tournament and how it didn't go well. Do you think that's on his mind as he takes on Arkansas, that, hey, I owe these guys one. I need to go out and have a great outing and you know, get my team off to the right start after the way things went last year in Hoover for Singer against the Razorbacks?
Yeah, you know, and Singer's a guy who has very, very high expectations, you know, as a guy that's projected in that top five of the MLB, and I'm sure tonight's going to be loaded with MLB scouts, and that is definitely something Brady Singer's going to do is look to rebound. And, you know, Kevin O'Sullivan talked to Brady Singer about that. You know, you're a Friday night guy. Your responsibility is to get the series off right, and that'll be something that'll look for. My thing for him is he can't let that affect him too much because Arkansas is a very, very good hitting team. You think about it too much and then you start to leave things over the plate or you start to walk guys, and Arkansas as a team better not give extra outs to because they're going to make you pay for it.
Speaking with Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. Andrew, I've always been curious about this because Florida is one of the few programs that in recent memory has won a national title in football, basketball, and baseball. Obviously, football reigns supreme. Basketball is a big deal in baseball, too. But just since you've been able to see all three of those kind of go through, how have the fans reacted and how was it? What was it like seeing the team win a national championship in baseball, maybe compared to what it was like in football or in basketball?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it doesn't get the same recognition, but it was a big deal. You know, Florida being able to go to Omaha, you know, a lot – Kevin O'Sullivan, and even before Kevin O'Sullivan, I mean, the baseball program was in a bad program before Kevin O'Sullivan arrived, but he took it to the next level, and it just always seemed that they'd get to Omaha and they would go two and out, or they would go and win one out of three. It was just, it always seemed like it was a hurdle. It was a big deal, and it was almost like a weight lifted off of Kevin O'Sullivan's shoulders, and especially after Kevin O'Sullivan was touted by Texas and Clemson tried to go after him. It was kind of a big deal to get that that weight off his back. And the Florida fans were very, very excited about it. They're very excited about their baseball program in general. And then a lot of people thought, oh, how did this team win it? This wasn't the best team that Kevin O'Sullivan put on the table. So it was big, and, I mean, it leads now to Florida's going to probably get a new baseball stadium. Could be announced earlier today, all because of that. Scott Strickland, the new athletic director, has put a lot of emphasis on the baseball program, and that showed in Omaha.
After watching Arkansas put 39 runs up on a top-five team in Kentucky, I'm sure that Florida has taken notice of the firepower. Arkansas scored 41% of their runs, 77 runs of the 189 this year in the first three innings. Has Kevin O'Sullivan talked at all about making sure that, you know, we don't get let Arkansas run away with this game in the first three innings? Is that something he's spoken about? I'm certain he's aware of it, but what can he do, or what are they talking about to maybe limit Arkansas at the plate in the first three innings of the game where they've been so deadly?
Yeah, that's something he talked about after the game on Wednesday night, that, you know, it's going to be important for his starters to go out and start the game early and get ahead, allow his offense to get settled in the game before Arkansas, you know, puts up three or four runs, and then you're starting to look at things and be like, oh, we're playing from behind now. So that's something he's talked to his starters about, is about going in and eliminating the extra outs, you know, and that's something he's also talked about, is the defense playing well, and that's something Florida has done, has played very well on defense. And, you know, the good thing for Florida starters is they don't walk a lot of guys, and generally they don't allow big innings, but that's something he's talked about, is don't allow the big innings, don't allow the crooked numbers to go up on the board. And then he's talked to the starters about allowing his offense to get settled in, because, as I said, this is a very good offense as well. It's one of those things where you look at it and you think it's going to be good pitching all weekend, and we're probably going to look at games that are in the 7-6 games all weekend. Who knows? It seems like a series that could go back and forth as far as good pitching and good hitting.
Andrew, I'd be remiss before I let you get out of here to not at least bring up a football question for you. It is the Dan Mullen era down there in Florida. They've had some growing pains, and obviously the Jim McElwain, the way the things ended. It seems like Dan Mullen's going to really get things going in Gainesville. Just your overall impression of him during spring football and all the things they've done in his first recruiting class. How good of a job is he doing, and how do you feel about the future of Florida football?
The excitement is finally back. You know, when you look at Will Muschamp and you look at Jim McElwain, the excitement wasn't back. The excitement wasn't there. Dan Mullen knows the expectations. Florida's a very crazy, inspired, loving fan base. And it takes a special person to really go into that fan base. And Dan Mullen's embracing that so far. He's allowing the team to be seen by the fans. He's allowing open practices. He's brought back the excitement. But at the end of the day, it all goes back to quarterback play. And, you know, that's something they're still struggling with. We'll see how it goes this spring. I do think the program's going in the right direction under Dan Mullen. You couldn't have picked a better coach to really lead that quarterback spot. And that's been just an Achilles heel for him in the last few years.
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for Dan Mullen. I think he'll do a great job. And at a program like Florida, that's about all they expect, is a great job from no matter who the coach ends up being. Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. Really appreciate you joining us, Andrew. Great stuff, man. I guess we'll be probably seeing you in SEC Media Days, my man.
Absolutely. See you guys then.
All right, appreciate it, buddy.
Golly. What a big weekend, guys. You talk about two back-to-back weekends of meaningful, high level. I mean, this is what all your sports programs you want to be like, right? You'd love to have 4-5 in football, versus five. And I mean, this is what we're experiencing. I mean, we don't appreciate what we're getting in baseball enough as fans. I mean, this is a great time that we're experiencing here right now with Razorback baseball to see and to live, and tells you about the greatness of the SEC. But back-to-back weekends with top-five matchups? Are you kidding me? This is awesome.
Now, you can't really ask more than that. And
no.
And if Arkansas is able to win this series, you talk about the excitement being at fever pitch levels, you might start to see sell-out crowds, 10, 12, 13,000 at Baum Stadium for a lot of these SEC series the rest of the way, assuming weather permitting. You may see that anyways.
Yeah.
But by beating number one team in the country in their place this early in the conference season, I mean, I don't think you could ask for any type of a better start than that, and also the excitement just having some real momentum going down the stretch of conference play.
All right, should be a fun weekend. Can't wait to watch it, and a lot of it on TV, ESPN, and the SEC Network over the weekend to catch Saturday and Sunday's games. I'm having a great time in Branson at the Branson Coaster. When I leave here later on today, I'm heading over to Gaston's White River Resort. Going to spend some time just having a great spring break weekend with the family. And no better way. I mean, how many dads are out there? We talked about this a day or two. Are you sick and tired of your kids looking at their phones and their tablets? And you know, what can we do to do something where they're not always in front of some kind of screen in front of their face? Fishing. I mean, what better way to spend family time than in a boat? Number one, you got them held hostage. So they can't go anywhere. You got them out in the middle of a river. They're not going anywhere. That water's 47 degrees. They're not going anywhere. You got them in the boat. There's no better way to spend some family time than fishing. They got great guides. We say, well, I don't know anything about tying all these things and what baits to put on and where to go. They got great experienced guides that have been there 20, 25, 30 years that know where the fish are at, know how to put you on the fish, and your kids are going to love it. So if you're looking for something different to do, maybe this spring break it didn't work out, maybe in a month or so, maybe Memorial Day weekend right after they get out, start planning those trips here for the summer at Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202 to make your reservation. Great family times ahead at Gaston's White River Resort. They got the cabins, the lodges, the restaurant. It's all there for the whole family at Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time, every time.
You're in the middle of Fastball Friday.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
And 95.3. On air and streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is The Morning Rush.
It certainly is The Morning Rush, and appreciate everybody tuning in this morning, making all of us a part of your day today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. This is a Fastball Friday presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
Yeah, 2018 Buick Encores, best price they've ever had. General Motors has really made March fabulous, and you can buy a brand new 2018 Buick Encore, $14,980. That's the lowest price. We've made a big deal out of those being under 20 grand. How about under 15 grand? And there's only a couple of those left at that price, but they've got a lot at, you know, very low prices right now on the Buick Encore. So you want to get over there and get those. No need to drive north. No need to drive an hour or more away. The best deals are at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, the time dealer of the year in the state of Arkansas. Harry Robinson, Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
I got to ask this question, though. The SEC had eight teams in the NCAA tournament this year. The SEC was viewed as being a very competitive, a very solid conference overall, comparatively speaking to the other conferences in the country, but yet they will have zero Elite Eight teams. So it's kind of going along the lines of what a lot of people were saying, where the SEC, yeah, it was a good conference, but there were no elite teams. There were no high-end teams. And it's almost kind of like a disappointment, too, when you think about getting, you get eight teams into the tournament. You had some teams that had some upside, but yet couldn't advance far enough in the tournament to at least have a vested interest for SEC fans.
My only problem with that take is, so if Kentucky wins and they're in the Elite Eight, then oh, okay, the SEC had a high-end team, even though Kentucky didn't play anybody to get to Elite Eight. It's very difficult, but this is what is the beauty of March Madness. People say they put all their stock in March Madness, but that's not true, because if that was true, then we'd have people getting fired when a 16 beats a 1 in the first round. March Madness is very important, but to me, especially for those of us that are SEC football fans, because here's the narrative that we push on there. If the SEC has a bad bowl record, what do we say? Well, it's one game. You can't take an entire season and then base it up on one game. Hey, I agree. That's perfectly fine. But then when you get to March Madness, if you win one game at the end, and if you're keeping it in perspective of basketball team plays 30 games, so two or three more games, and basketball is similar to the football team playing 12 games and having one extra game. So it's just tough for me to base to allow the NCAA tournament to validate an entire league, especially because there are upsets that happen. There are things that happen. Like, Kentucky could have moonwalked to the national championship and not played anything higher than an 8 seed or a 10 seed or whatever the case may be. And so I just have a tough time jumping on board with that, especially because I'm looking at Kentucky. Kentucky wasn't an elite team. They got a good draw, or they got a bad draw, but then everybody that would have been in their way, they all got upset before they could even play Kentucky. And I'm not just going to go out there and say, okay, well, had Kentucky have won, had Kentucky beat Kansas State, now they're an elite team and it makes the SEC look better. And this is why I've always said the league was not as good as people thought this year, but in years past, the league wasn't as bad as people thought. It was somewhere in the middle.
But this is the best the league has been that, 5 years, 10 years. I mean, I don't know how far to go back, but when you get eight teams in, the league was definitely the best it's been in a long time. I don't think there's any arguing that.
So now I'll still argue that. It's perception and going into something. When you're going into the year and they rank, you look at a team like Texas A&M. The main reason Texas A&M made it to the NCAA tournament is because they started top five in the country. The main reason Florida made it to the NCAA tournament and they were a 6 seed is because they started top 5 or top 10 in the country. A lot of this stuff has to do with the way the media and the way people perceive your conference in the offseason, because in the offseason is when they start, okay, let's rank all these teams. Let's rank all these teams. Well, then in your non-conference, you're like nobody in your league is playing any more than 3 or 4 tough games. So now, whenever you get to a conference with that ranking that they gave you in the offseason, projecting what they think you could do, and then 70% of your games were against inferior opponents, once you get to your conference with that ranking, and once you get to your conference with that perception and all of that, then it's a lot easier, because now, whenever you're beating up on each other inside the league, you turn into the ACC. That's why the ACC gets 12 teams in every year, because at the beginning of the year, we say, ooh, all these teams are top 10 teams. They got 8 teams in the top 10 and all that other good jazz. And then once conference play starts and you have 3 or 4 losses in and 4 or 5 games, people just say, well, yeah, they're losing, but they're losing to all top 10 teams. When in reality, if we waited and actually watched all of the games, which this will never happen, but if we did it, similar to how the college football playoff is, and we wait and we watch a whole bunch of basketball, a whole bunch of games, then we start throwing out there like, okay, I think Florida is this and Florida is that. Could you imagine had we waited till conference to throw out rankings? Then I guarantee you the SEC wouldn't have got 8 teams in.
But rankings don't matter in basketball, really? Do they really matter? They say they don't.
Yeah, it's RPI and it's a bunch of other things, but
it mattered to Oklahoma, because if it wasn't for them being ranked and being talked about and all that, they probably wouldn't have gotten into the NCAA tournament.
But how much does the committee value rankings in their evaluation in selecting the teams?
From what I read and hear,
I don't think they put a lot of stock in rankings. I mean, there's a lot more RPI type stuff, a lot more other metrics, advanced metrics.
Right. There's only been, one team in the last 10 years or one team in the last 8 years that was ranked in the top 25 that didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. And that was SMU a handful of years ago.
Which they probably still should have made it to the tournament that year, because a lot of people felt like they were kind of jabbed in that. But the thing is if you're talking about specifically the SEC, it's like, okay, so what metric do you use, or is there one how good a conference is?
Yeah,
because if you can't use the tournament wins and how far those teams advance, if you can't use necessarily the rankings, you can't necessarily use the teams they beat in the non-conference. I mean, how can you determine exactly how good a conference is?
Yeah, I think you have to. Now, there's no set way. This isn't like that great list that you came out with ESPN the other day that had Tiger Woods.
At
number one. There's no set way to do it. I think you just have to ball everything up, and you have to watch the games. The biggest reason why we know the SEC in football is better than other conferences, look at how they're moving. I mean, if you're watching the games and you're seeing they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. They throw further, they hit harder, they run faster, they catch more passes. I mean, that's just how it is. And if you can't watch your TV and tell that Alabama is really, really good and that Georgia is really, really good and that Auburn is really good and LSU on a down year is still better than a lot of Big 12 teams. If you can't watch those Big 12 teams and watch the SEC teams and tell, then there's something wrong with you. I think you put all of it in one. I think you can throw the bowl games in just like you can throw the NCAA tournament in. I think you can throw the regular season in. I think you can throw the non-conference in. And I think you have to watch. And I think you ball all that up in one, and then you kind of take a step back and go, okay, now what's the best conference? But just to put it on, oh, well, if the ACC ends up with two teams in the national championship, that was the best conference this year. I'm just not buying that.
Yeah, but no one's arguing the SEC was the best conference this year. I mean, who's making that argument?
I'm just saying, yeah. It's,
I mean, no one's saying that conference. The SEC has Correct. Now risen to the mountaintop of college basketball. All I think anybody like us or anybody else with reasonable thought is saying is it's better than it's been. That, you know, this league is now a top five conference. I couldn't sit here and legitimately even try to make the argument it's as good as the ACC. I mean, there's no way. But I do think that this is a top five league this season. I don't know if it's a top five league right now. We'll see if they can put another season like this together. It appears this conference is on the right track, though, guys. The right coaches are being hired. These coaches are getting better players. And I think that's putting a better product on the floor. That's what's changed.
Yeah, and I think that the coaches that are coaching these teams in the SEC, I don't know if it's maybe perception or whatever, but you know, you're not having Tony Barbie at Auburn.
That's the point. You're getting household name type coaches that are getting 4 and 5 star talents to come to these schools, whereas 5 or 6 years ago you couldn't get the top shelf players. Predominantly, you were getting the leftovers from what the other leagues, because the argument was, well, if you go to the SEC, you're not going to be the big man on campus. If you go to the SEC, basketball is always going to be in the shadow of a football program, no matter which campus you're going to. And somehow and I don't think that was ever reality, but that was the perception. And now that's all kind of changed when you've made the investment in the coaches that this conference has made.
I just want to see what these teams will do. Besides, I mean, because let's be honest, Kentucky and Calipari are always going to be the creme de la creme of the conference. But I'm interested to see if these teams like Tennessee or Auburn or South Carolina or, you know, any of these teams that have made some major strides here in the past few years, if they can keep it going, if they can actually have a sustainable, successful program. They'll never get to Kentucky level. They'll never be a blue blood. But can they just be one of those programs that's in the SEC that it's like every single year you can say, all right, this team may suck, this team may suck, this team may suck, but we can count on this team to be good. We can count on this team to make it to the tournament, maybe make some noise, because right now Kentucky is still the only team that you can count on in this conference. Maybe some of these teams can get to that point. Maybe. But that's yet to be determined. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Before we do, though, got to tell you about Sassy's Red House, some of the best barbecue you will get in Northwest Arkansas, two locations on College and on Weddington. The weather is warmed up. I actually felt justified in wearing shorts this morning when I woke up. I had my window open, even though I forgot to close it, but it didn't matter because it wasn't that cold. So now that it's finally starting to warm up, go out to Sassy's, check out the patio, check out the sports they got on television. You can watch the Razorback baseball game over there. The NCAA tournament will be on. They'll have everything taken care of for you there with a great atmosphere, a great time, and some great food. Be sure to stop by Sassy's in Fayetteville on College or on Weddington. Coming up next, Johnny Manziel in comeback season. Is he going to actually make a comeback, or is it all just a big, fat performance? We'll get to that and more. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
And 95.3. On air. And streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is The Morning Rush.
It certainly is The Morning Rush. And appreciate everybody tuning in this morning, making all of us a part of your day today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. This is a Fastball Friday presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
Yeah, 2018 Buick Encore's best price they've ever had. General Motors has really made March fabulous, and you can buy a brand new 2018 Buick Encore, $14,980. That's the lowest price. We've made a big deal out of those being under 20 grand. How about under 15 grand? And there's only a couple of those left at that price, but they've got a lot at, you know, very low prices right now on the Buick Encore. So you want to get over there and get those. No need to drive north. No need to drive an hour or more away. The best deals are at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, the time dealer of the year in the state of Arkansas. Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
I got to ask this question, though. The SEC had 8 teams in the NCAA tournament this year. The SEC was viewed as being a very competitive, a very solid conference overall, comparatively speaking to the other conferences in the country, but yet they will have 0 Elite Eight teams. So it's kind of going along the lines of what a lot of people were saying, where the SEC, yeah, it was a good conference, but there were no elite teams. There were no high-end teams. And it's almost kind of like a disappointment, too, when you think about getting, you get 8 teams into the tournament. You had some teams that had some upside, but yet couldn't advance far enough in the tournament to at least have a vested interest for SEC fans.
My only problem with that take is, so if Kentucky wins and they're in the Elite Eight, then, oh, okay, the SEC had a high-end team, even though Kentucky didn't play anybody to get to the Elite Eight. It's very difficult, but this is what is the beauty of March Madness. People say they put all their stock in March Madness, but that's not true, because if that was true, then we'd have people getting fired when a 16 beats a 1 in the first round. March Madness is very important, but to me, especially for those of us that are SEC football fans, because here's the narrative that we push on there. If the SEC has a bad bowl record, what do we say? Well, it's one game. You can't take an entire season and then base it upon one game. Hey, I agree. That's perfectly fine. But then when you get to March Madness, if you win one game at the end, and if you're keeping it in perspective of basketball team plays 30 games, so 2 or 3 more games, and basketball is similar to the football team playing 12 games and having one extra game. So it's just tough for me to base to allow the NCAA tournament to validate an entire league, especially because there are upsets that happen. There are things that happen. Like, Kentucky could have moonwalked to the national championship and not played anything higher than an 8 seed or a 10 seed or whatever the case may be. And so I just have a tough time jumping on board with that, especially because I'm looking at Kentucky. Kentucky wasn't an elite team. They got a good draw, or they got a bad draw, but then everybody that would have been in their way, they all got upset before they could even play Kentucky. And I'm not just going to go out there and say, okay, well, had Kentucky have won, had Kentucky beat Kansas State, now they're an elite team and it makes the SEC look better. And this is why I've always said the league was not as good as people thought this year, but in years past, the league wasn't as bad as people thought. It was somewhere in the middle.
But this is the best the league has been that 5 years, 10 years. I mean, I don't know how far to go back, but when you get 8 teams in, the league was definitely the best it's been in a long time. I don't think there's any arguing that.
So now, I'll still argue that. It's perception and going into something. When you're going into the year and they rank, you look at a team like Texas A&M. The main reason Texas A&M made it to the NCAA tournament is because they started top 5 in the country. The main reason Florida made it to the NCAA tournament and they were a 6 seed is because they started top 5 or top 10 in the country. A lot of this stuff has to do with the way the media and the way people perceive your conference in the offseason. Because in the offseason is when they start, okay, let's rank all these teams. Let's rank all these teams. Well, then in your non-conference, you're like, nobody in your league is playing any more than 3 or 4 tough games. So now whenever you get to a conference with that ranking that they gave you in the offseason, projecting what they think you could do, and then 70% of your games were against inferior opponents. Once you get to your conference with that ranking, and once you get to your conference with that perception and all of that, then it's a lot easier, because now whenever you're beating up on each other inside the league, you turn into the ACC. That's why the ACC gets 12 teams in every year, because at the beginning of the year, we say, ooh, all these teams are top 10 teams. They got 8 teams in the top 10 and all that other good jazz. And then once conference play starts and you have 3 or 4 losses in and, you know, and 4 or 5 games, people just say, well, yeah, they're losing, but they're losing to all top 10 teams. When in reality, if we waited and actually watched all of the games, which this will never happen, but if we did it similar to how the college football playoff is, and we wait and we watch a whole bunch of basketball, a whole bunch of games, then we start throwing out there like, okay, I think Florida is this and Florida is that. Could you imagine had we awaited till conference to throw out rankings? Then I guarantee you the SEC wouldn't have got 8 teams in.
But rankings don't matter in basketball, really? I mean, do they really matter? It's RPI.
They say they don't. Yeah, in which it's RPI and it's a bunch of other things, but
it mattered to Oklahoma, because if it wasn't for them being ranked and being talked about and all that, they probably wouldn't have gotten into the NCAA tournament.
But how much does the committee value rankings in their evaluation and selecting the teams? I don't think they put a lot of stock in rankings. I mean, there's a lot more RPI type stuff, a lot more other metrics, advanced metrics.
Right. There's only been, what, one team in the last 10 years or one team in the last 8 years that was ranked in the top 25 that didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. And that was SMU a handful of years ago.
Which they probably still should have made it to the tournament that year, because a lot of people felt like they were kind of jabbed in that. But the thing is, if you're talking about specifically the SEC, it's like, okay, so what metric do you use, or is there one, how good a conference is?
Yeah,
because if you can't use the tournament wins and how far those teams advance, if you can't use necessarily the rankings, you can't necessarily use the teams they beat in the non-conference. I mean, how can you determine exactly how good a conference is?
Yeah, I think you have to. Now, there's no set way. This isn't like that great list that you came out with ESPN the other day that had Tiger Woods.
At
number one. There's no set way to do it. I think you just have to ball everything up, and you have to watch the games. The biggest reason why we know the SEC in football is better than other conferences, look at how they're moving. I mean, if you're watching the games and you're seeing, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. They throw further, they hit harder, they run faster, they catch more passes. I mean, that's just how it is. And if you can't watch your TV and tell that Alabama is really, really good, and that Georgia is really, really good, and that Auburn is really good, and LSU on a down year is still better than a lot of Big 12 teams, if you can't watch those Big 12 teams and watch the SEC teams and tell, then there's something wrong with you. I think you put all of it in one. I think you can throw the bowl games in, just like you can throw the NCAA tournament in. I think you can throw the regular season in. I think you can throw the non-conference in, and I think you have to watch. And I think you ball all that up in one, and then you kind of take a step back and go, okay, now what's the best conference? But just to put it on, oh, well, if the ACC ends up with 2 teams in the national championship, that was the best conference this year. I'm just not buying that.
Yeah, but no one's arguing the SEC was the best conference this year. I mean, who's making that argument?
I'm just saying, it's
no,
I just
no one's saying that
conference.
The SEC has correct. Now risen to the mountaintop of college basketball. All I think anybody like us or anybody else with reasonable thought is saying is it's better than it's been. That, you know, this league is now a top 5 conference. I couldn't sit here and legitimately even try to make the argument it's as good as the ACC. I mean, there's no way. But I do think that this is a top 5 league this season. I don't know if it's a top 5 league right now. We'll see if they can put another season like this together. It appears this conference is on the right track, though, guys. The right coaches are being hired. These coaches are getting better players. And I think that's putting a better product on the floor. That's what's changed.
Yeah, and I think that the coaches that are coaching these teams in the SEC, I don't know if it's maybe perception or whatever, but you know, you're not having Tony Barbie at Auburn.
Bruce Pearl. That's the point. You're getting household name type coaches that are getting 4 and 5 star talents to come to these schools, whereas 5 or 6 years ago, you couldn't get the top shelf players. Predominantly, you were getting the leftovers from what the other leagues, because the argument was, well, if you go to the SEC, you're not going to be the big man on campus. If you go to the SEC, basketball is always going to be in the shadow of a football program, no matter which campus you're going to. And somehow and I don't think that was ever reality, but that was the perception. And now that's all kind of changed when you've made the investment in the coaches that this conference has made.
I just want to see what these teams will do. Besides, I mean, because let's be honest, Kentucky and Calipari are always going to be the creme de la creme of the conference. But I'm interested to see if these teams like Tennessee or Auburn or South Carolina or any of these teams that have made some major strides here in the past few years, if they can keep it going, if they can actually have a sustainable, successful program. They'll never get to Kentucky level. They'll never be a blue blood. But can they just be one of those programs that's in the SEC that it's like every single year you can say, all right, this team may suck, this team may suck, this team may suck, but we can count on this team to be good. We can count on this team to make it to the tournament, maybe make some noise, because right now Kentucky is still the only team that you can count on in this conference. Maybe some of these teams can get to that point. Maybe. But that's yet to be determined. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Before we do, though, got to tell you about Sassy's Red House, some of the best barbecue you will get in Northwest Arkansas. Two locations on College and on Weddington. The weather is warmed up. I actually felt justified in wearing shorts this morning when I woke up. I had my window open, even though I forgot to close it, but it didn't matter because it wasn't that cold. So now that it's finally starting to warm up, go out to Sassy's, check out the patio, check out the sports they got on television. You can watch the Razorback baseball game over there. The NCAA tournament will be on. They'll have everything taken care of for you there with a great atmosphere, a great time, and some great food. Be sure to stop by Sassy's in Fayetteville on College or on Weddington. Coming up next, Johnny Manziel in comeback season. Is he going to actually make a comeback, or is it all just a big, fat performance? We'll get to that and more. This is the Morning Rush.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.